Reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, chapter 12, verse 28-38 and 45-53, Kamala Kanta Vishwas's offense to Advaita Acharya. This is a story about Kamala Kanta Vishwas. Interesting, because the word Vishwas means faith. But apparently his faith was less. Kamala Kanta Vishwasana Acharya Kinkar Acharya Vyavahara Sabatanharako Gochar. Advaita Acharya's very confidential servant named Kamala Kanta Vishwas knew all the dealings of Advaita Acharya. Kamala Kanta was a very confidential servant of Mahaprabhu. He was born in a Brahmin family, and he was engaged in the service of Advaita Acharya as his secretary. I guess he was like a GBC secretary to Advaita Acharya, because he was a big Acharya. He had many disciples. Nila Chali Teno Eka Patrika Likaya Likya Pratapa Rudrera Pasha Dila Pataya. When Kamala Kanta Vishwas was in Jagannath Puri, he sent a note through someone to Maharaj Prataparudra. Oh, this is this story. Se pratira kata acharya nahijan kona pake se patri aila prabhustan. No one knew what was in that note, but somehow or other it reached the hands of Mahaprabhu. So now we're in Jagannath Puri, and the secretary of Advaita Acharya sent some type of letter to King Maharaj Prataparudra. No one knew the contents of the letter, but somehow Mahaprabhu found out about it. Se patrite lekache eta lekan ishvaratve acharyere karyache stapan. That note established Advaita Acharya as an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kintu tanra dhaive kichu hayache rina rina shodi bore chahi tanka shatatina. So he says that Kamala Kanta Vishwas, the secretary, he's trying to inform King Prataparudra that you know that my boss, Advaita Acharya, is the incarnation of God. But it's also mentioned that Advaita Acharya had recently incurred a debt of about 300 rupees that Kamala Kanta Vishwas wanted to liquidate. So this note, the secretary, Advaita's secretary, sent a note to the king, Prataparudra, saying, my boss, Advaita Acharya, he is the incarnation of God, but he's a debtor. He's so poor. He's actually Ishvara. He says he's Ishvara. He's Bhagavan. He's God. But somehow he ran out of money. He's supposed to be Lakshminath. God, Vishnu's name is Lakshminath. He's the Lord of Lakshmi. But here he's 300 rupees short. So Vishwas is writing a letter asking if he can have a little loan from the king. God is supposed to be the king of all kings. Must be most wealthy, Aishwaryasya Samagrasya. So, Pachapadiya Prabhur Mani Haile Duka Bahire Hasya Kichu Bali Chandra Muka. Mahaprabhu became unhappy upon reading this note, although his face still shone as brightly as the moon. Thus smiling, he spoke as follows. So he was unhappy, but he was smiling. Apparently he was hiding his feelings. Acharya re stapiyache karya ishvar. Itte dosha nahi acharya daivata ishvar. Mahaprabhu said, Kamala Kanta Vishwasu, the secretary of Advaita Acharya, has established Advaita Acharya as an incarnation of God. There is nothing wrong in this, for indeed he is the Lord himself. Ishvara dhainyakari kariyache bhiksha ateva dandakari karaiba shiksha. But Kamala Kant has made the incarnation of Godhead a poverty-stricken beggar. Therefore, I shall punish him in order to correct him. So Mahaprabhu is going to correct this servant of Vaitacharya because he's misunderstood and misbehaved in relationship to his master by asking the king to liquidate Advaitacharya's debt. Prabhupada describes, to describe a man as an incarnation of God or Narayan and at the same time present him as poverty-stricken is contradictory. It is the greatest offense. Govindere agyadila inha ajihaite mboliya vishvaseyeta nadibe asite. Mahaprabhu ordered his servant Govinda, from today on, do not allow that bolia, Kamalakan Vishwas, to come here. So he was one of the Baals. Baals means he was one of the 13 unauthorized sects that passed as followers of Mahaprabhu. So apparently, Lord Chaitanya didn't want to meet the Baal. He was a Baal. Somehow, Vaidacharya's servant or secretary had become Baal. Danda Shuni Vishwas Hoyla Parama Dukita Shuniya Prabhu Rodanda Acharya Harshita. When Kamala Kant heard about this punishment by Mahaprabhu, he was very unhappy. But when Advaita Prabhu heard about it, he was greatly pleased. So it's very interesting here. One person's sadness is a source of another person's happiness. Advaita was happy to hear that his secretary is getting the sauce. But the secretary was not too happy. In Gita 9:29, Krishna says, Samaham sarvabhuteshu na me dveshyo stinapriha. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being equal to everyone, no one can be his enemy, nor can anyone be his friend. Since everyone is a part or a son of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord cannot be partial and regard someone as a friend and someone as an enemy. Thus when Mahaprabhu punished Kamala Kant Vishwas by no longer allowing him to come into his presence, although the punishment was actually very hard on him, Advaita Prabhu, understanding the inner meaning of such punishment, was happy because he appreciated that the Lord had actually favored Kamala Kant Vishwas. He appreciated that the Lord had... Therefore, he was not at all unhappy. Devotees should always be happy with all the dealings of their master, the personality of Godhead. A devotee may be put into difficulty or opulence, but he should accept both as gifts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and jubilantly engage in the service of the Lord in all circumstances. So we may be very much gifted by the Lord, or he may take everything away. It may make things very hard for us. So many obstacles, mental, physical, social, environmental obstacles. But he may make everything smooth sailing, and everything just seems to go our way. We get whatever we need, whatever we want, and everything's nice, so-called nice. And that's also Krishna's mercy. Either way, we accept everything as Krishna's mercy and jubilantly engage in the service of the Lord. So this is a key point. Krishna is testing our jubilation. How much will be jubilantly engaged in the service of the Lord despite all setbacks or promotions? Vishvasere kai tumi bara bhagyavan tomare karila danda prabhu bhagavan. Seeing Kamala Kant Vishwas unhappy, Advaitacharya Prabhu told him, you are greatly fortunate to have been punished by the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is Advaitacharya is saying he's very fortunate. It's like sometimes we step on a thorn or some sticker. When we're walking on Govardhan Parikrama, we cut our foot and blood comes out. So I remember one Rajvasi Brahman was walking with me, and then I cut my foot, and blood came out. And he said, "Oh, you're very fortunate. You're much more fortunate than me." And he said, "Because when your blood's coming out on Prikama, you're engaged in Krishna's service, so Krishna's arranged this to purify your heart, take away your sins. So you're getting mercy. I'm not getting mercy. I'm just walking peacefully. But you're getting tormented so nicely. So in this torment, you're getting purified and your sins are coming out." So I replied that I prayed that he would also have such fortune. That he would also step on the thorn and get the equal mercy that I was getting. Should be fair, all's fair. So the way to try is saying, "Oh, you're really fortunate, Kamalakant. You're my secretary, but now you're really getting the mercy because Lord Chaitanya is punishing you." So this is the authoritative judgment of Sri Advaita Prabhu. Advaita clearly advises that one should not be unhappy when reverses come upon him by the order of God. Devotees should always be happy to receive the fortunate awarded him by the Supreme Lord, which seems pleasant or unpleasant according to one's judgment. So it's pleasant if the Lord gives us good things, and it's unpleasant if the Lord gives us bad things. But it's all fortune. Good is punishment is fortune, and reward is also fortune. Both have their purpose. Both are positive, and both are contributing to our progress. It depends on our outlook and our attitude and how we respond to both. So Prabhupada's mentioning this, that this is, we should see the fortune. Fortune in our fortune and fortune in our misfortune. Even our misfortune is fortune. People see us, "Oh, he's miserable, he's suffering so much. He's very unfortunate." Well, we think, "Oh, I'm very fortunate. Because when I'm suffering, then I have to call out to Krishna, 'Hey Bhagavan, hey Govinda, Damodar Madhav, please, please help me, I'm really in bad straits, I'm really suffering.'" So then that misfortune becomes the greatest source of our fortune. Purve Mahaprabhu More Karene Saman Dukapai Mone Ami Kahulu Nanuman. Actually, I wanted to skip ahead here a little bit. This verse. Amareha Kabuje Nahaya Prasad Tomara Charane Ami Ki Koinu Aparad. Advaita Acharya said, "I cannot understand your transcendental pastimes. You have shown more favor to Kamalakant than you generally show me. The favor of you have shown Kamalakant is so great that even to me you have never shown such favor. What offense have I committed at your lotus feet so as not to be shown such favor?" Mm-hmm. So, if we get punished by the spiritual master or chastised, we should think, "Oh, what great fortune. What great mercy that he's taken time out of his bhajan to think about me and formulate a suitable punishment for me. And he's come to drop this punishment on my head. And it's very good news for me." Someone may be there. So this is we thank our stars that a guru is dropping his bomb on our head. Because he doesn't drop a bomb on everybody's head. Person has to be particularly blessed by the Lord. So, when Avaitacharya told this to Lord Chaitanya, he said, "Oh, this my secretary, Kamalakant, is so fortunate that you've chastised him, but I'm unfortunate. What offense have I committed so not be shown such favor?" So Avaitacharya he's saying, "Oh, I must have been offensive that I didn't get any mercy." Eta shuni Mahaprabhu hasite lagila bolaila Kamalakante prasana haila. Then when Mahaprabhu heard the way that Acharya is saying this, he laughed with satisfaction and he immediately called Kamalakant Vishwas. Kamalakant Vishwas is the secretary of Advaita Acharya. Acharya kahi ihake kene dile darshan dui prakariti kare more vidamban. then, this is what Advaita said. Advaita then said to Mahaprabhu, "Why have you called back this man and allowed him to see you? He has cheated me in two ways." Because remember, this Kamalakant had sent a letter. He independently acted and sent a letter to King Prataparuja saying that his master, Advaitacharya, is Ishvara. He is a personality of God at incarnation. But he has incurred a debt of 300 rupees. So he asked the king if he could liquidate the debt. And then when Lord Chaitanya heard about that, then he said, "I don't want to see this Vishwas. Tell Kamalakant to stay away." So now Vaitacharya said, Why do you now call him back? Shuniya prabhura mana prasana hoila tunhara antara kata tunhe se janila. Mahaprabhu heard this, his mind was satisfied. Only then they could understand each other's minds. Prabhu kai bholiya bholiya ache kahikar acharya ralaja dharma hani se achar. Mahaprabhu told Kamalakant, "You are a baal, bholiya. Baal means one who does not know things as they are. Why do you act in this way? Why do you invade the privacy of Advaitacharya and damage his religious principles?" So Prabhupada gives a purport. Kamalakant Vishwas, out of his ignorance, asked King Prataparuja to liquidate the 300 rupee debt of Advaitacharya. But at the same time, he established in that letter that Advaitacharya was an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is contradictory. Incarnation cannot be indebted to anyone in the material world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is never satisfied by such a contradiction, which is called rasa-bhas, overlapping of one humor, or rasa, or mela, with another. This is the same type of idea as the contradiction that Narayan is poverty-stricken, Daridra Narayan. And the Shankarites, or the followers of Vivekananda especially, Ramakrishna and Vivekananda, they propagated this term in Bengal and around India, that everyone's Narayan, Namo Narayan. That everyone's Narayan, Brahman Satya Jagan Mithya, that this world is false and Brahman is real. And actually, we're all Brahman, we're all Narayan, we're all God. And then when they're challenged, "Well, how? What are these poor people doing pulling the rickshaw? They're also Narayan? Is Narayan supposed to be the husband of Lakshmi?" So all these poor people, they're Daridra Narayan. They're Narayan, but Daridra means poor. Poor Narayan. So this is a contradiction. It's like saying he's a poor Kraupati. Kraupati means he's a lord of so many crores. He has so many millions of dollars. So he's a poor Kraupati. Of course, sometimes they feel like that themselves. They say, "I'm very, very poor." So Lord Chaitanya goes on. Pratigraha kabo na karibe rajadan vishta yera anakoila dushta hayaman. Mahaprabhu said, "Acharya, Advaitacharya is my spiritual master. He should never accept charity. My spiritual master should never accept charity from rich men or kings. Because if a spiritual master accepts money or grains from such materialists, his mind becomes polluted. Dushta hayamana. Vishta yera anakoile dushta hayamana." So it says kaile means kabo, dushta, polluted, high, mana. Ana, vishayi, vishayira, kana, or ana. Ana means grains. Anad bhavati bhutani, parjanyo anasambhava. Krishna says in Gita, "All living entities subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains, and rains are born of prescribed duties," which means yajna. So rains are... they come from yajna that different varnas perform. Varna, people in the varnas. So ana means grains. So inside grains is carrying a consciousness. The consciousness of the cook and enters inside the grains, and the one who purchased the grains also. So if Advaitacharya, he's supposed to be God, and now he's a debtor, and you're saying that this king should pay him some money, but if he accepts some money from this king is a vishayi. He's a sense enjoyer. So anything connected with the king is contaminated. King means money and women. And money and women are both contaminated. Because money is the abode of Kali. Kali personified lives where there's money. Because in the old days they didn't have paper, they had gold. Gold coins. So a king has lots of gold coins, which means he has lots of Kali Yuga. And he always has lots of queens, and so they're dirty by nature. Every month, 4 days, 5 days. So this is a recontaminating association. So now the personal secretary of Dvaitacharya, Kamalakant Vishwas, he's proposing that Dvaitacharya take some loan or have some payment from the king to liquidate his debt. Lord Chaitanya is giving some philosophy here. How can your master, Dvaitacharya, how can he take any money from the king? You're sent a letter to the king. The king should send him some money or give him some money to pay his debt. But if he takes money from the king, Pratapurudra, then what will happen? Dushtahayaman. Dushtamana. There's one bhajan in the Samba. Dushtamana. His mind will become polluted. So this is how the mind becomes polluted by bad association. So money brings association. And also this foodstuffs. So people are always dealing with money and food. They're always eating and they're always transacting. Everyone's always eating and always transacting. You see, the littlest kid, no matter how small he always has 10 rupees in his pocket. Transactions begin from the age of 6 months and go on till you die. You die with 10 rupees in your pocket also. Or maybe 10 crores. 10 is still there. So we see little babies. My chokhdar has little babies about 1 year old or something. And then his sisters play with him, and in his pocket he pulls out 10 rupees and goes like, you know, I got my 10. He can't even walk. He can hardly stand on his own 2 feet, but he has his 10 rupees, and he starts garbling something he's going to buy with that or whatever. So this money is a very contaminating thing. Kali lives wherever gold is hoarded. So now Lord Chaitanya is telling this, and so Prabhupada makes a nice point here. It's very risky to accept money or food from materialistic people, for such acceptance pollutes the mind of the charity's recipient. That's why we say the preachers, they take on so much karma, because they go to people's houses and they eat there, and they take their karma that way. And then they take donations, some charity, then they take karma that way. Then they look at the people and they take karma that way. And they talk to them and interact with their problems, so they also take the burden of their karmic problems on their heads also. The preachers are carrying a heavy burden. Take a lot of karma in their head. That's why they have to chant lots of japa. Engage in a lot of purifying activities. Counteract it. Because when you accept money and food from karmis, it pollutes the mind. According to Vedic system, one should give charity to sannyasis and brahmanas. Because one who thus gives charity becomes free from sinful activities. Formerly, therefore, brahmanas would not accept charity from a person unless he were very pious. Lord Chaitanya gave this instruction for all spiritual masters. So, there you have it. Any spiritual masters out there? Sannyasis, it says sannyasis and brahmins, because these are the brahmins are the spiritual masters for the society, or the four varnas, and the sannyasis are the spiritual masters for the brahmins. So both of them are receiving charity. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, listen, brahmins, listen, sannyasis, watch out. When you take money and grains and money from materialists, you better be careful that they have some degree of piety. Not that you go to Hugh Hefner and take a donation or building the new temple. Should rather refuse. Materialistic persons are not at all inclined to give up their sinful activities like illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. Sometimes they want to become our disciples. But unlike professional spiritual masters who accept disciples regardless of their condition, Vaishnavas do not accept such cheap disciples. So, the Prabhupada's telling here that he's not only talking about accepting money and food, he's also talking about accepting them. Because becoming a disciple means you accept the whole lock, stock, and barrel, everything. A person's whole life and all their karmas come on your head. The Vaishnavas do not accept such cheap disciples. One must at least agree to abide by the rules and regulations for a disciple before a Vaishnava Acharya can accept him. In fact, a Vaishnava should not even accept charity or food from persons who do not follow the four regulations of Vaishnava principles. Well, so much for life membership. So much for building big temples. So how do we do? Because the answer to this is that the disciples that are going out collecting for various projects in ISKCON or whatever, they're not accepting the money for themselves. They're giving it to the guru. So they're approaching all kinds of Vishayis and all kinds of materialistic people that never heard of the four regular principles, don't even know what they are. And they're taking that money and then they're giving it to the guru so that all the reactions go to the guru and to Krishna. So if the guru is transparent and he's pure in his motivation to please Krishna, then Krishna accepts all the reactions. And everybody gets purified all the way down the line. But at least the warning is there. One should not accept charity or food from persons who do not follow the rules and regulations of Vaishnava principles. Adi Leela, chapter 12, verse 50, purport. Very good purport. We go to people's houses because everything goes on sentimental, but a disciple should not go on, a devotee should not function on the basis of mundane sentiments. He should have sentiments, have feelings for the Lord and the Vaishnavas and Guru. But he should not be sentimental, wishy-washy, syrupy. That, oh, what will my host say if he offers me food and I don't take it? He will think badly of me. It is our Indian culture to accept food when we go to visit someone. When they offer food, if we don't accept it, it's a big offense. Well, that may be some type of offense in terms of moral standards or ethics or, let's say, culture. But it's not an offense in terms of, but it's a bigger offense to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. It's called Guru Ninda, Saru Ninda, because if you commit some infraction, social infraction or misbehavior, misconduct socially, according to a particular culture, that offense does not actually stop the progress of your bhakti. It does not influence your bhakti. It may influence your relationship with that person. They might say, oh, you're not a nice person. I'm not going to invite you over here again and feed you this boga. But that behavior, by following guru and shastra, then you're actually following the path of dharma. Although the society may reject you, then Krishna will accept you and get the approval of God and the sanction of and the blessings of Guru and approval and blessings of God. So we rather try to please Guru and God and let everybody else figure it out. Because sometimes we can't please everybody all the time. Right? They have this phrase. And so we should endeavor to please Krishna as much as possible. And Guru. Of course, we don't want to displease anyone. We want to please everyone. Prabhupada always said a devotee should be an ideal, perfect gentleman in all circumstances. But here we have an order on our head. I remember when we go to programs, sometimes people, they want to touch our feet, because this is a custom in India, touch a saintly person's feet, which reduces their karma. It's beneficial for them, but not so much for the sannyasi. And Prabhupada tells very clearly in one purport in CC that my disciples should not allow anyone to touch their feet. Of course, if they're disciple is a guru and he has disciples, that's another thing. So then, if a disciple tries to be true to his guru and lives up to that order, then people say, hey, what is this? What kind of sadhu were you? I invited you to my house. I gave you chapan bhog. I fed you so nicely. And I have deities in my house. I'm also initiated. But then, I'm following the principles. Why can't I touch your feet? All the sadhus, they come here, I touch the feet. Well, I'm sorry, my Guru Maharaj said no. And then we have to tell them. We have to stick by Guru. Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya Chite Te Kuri Aikya. My only wish is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from the mouth of my Guru. Because Guru will take you back to Godhead, not Grandma. Grandma and Grandpa, they'll take you to Doghead. My Guru and Garanga will take you to Godhead. So rather, we better please our Guru and Garanga rather than our Masi and our Mama. And in India, they say Masi and Mama means aunt and uncle. Masi and Mama and Chacha and Chachi. Nice phrases, huh? Like on your mother's side, your father's mother and father are one thing, and your mother's mother and father. We say aunt and uncle, right? Aunt and uncle. I say Chacha and Chachi, Mama and Masi. Chacha. Hey, Chacha. So, forget about the Chacha and the Mama, and follow Guru and Garanga. So Prabhupada is telling us a Vaishnava should not accept charity or food from persons who do not follow the four regs. That makes it easy when you go to house programs. Say, excuse me, Mr. Gupta, do you follow the four regular principles? Say, what you say? What you say, man? what is that? Say, well, no fish and meat, eggs, onions, garlic. Onions, garlic, that's a daily affair. Eggs for breakfast, and then they go on and on. So basically, even in India, although it's unbelievable to say, but it's a fact, it's practically impossible to find anybody in India anymore that follows the four regular principles. When we first came to India in 1977, we would have a hard time finding someone that didn't follow the four regular principles. And when we were in America, we thought we were great saints or incarnations or avatars because we were following these four regular principles. And everyone, we would meet people and they say, well, what do you do in this ISKCON? Do you have some code of behavior or some belief or some principles you follow? Yes, we follow these principles of restraint. We take a vow of poverty like Christians, but then we follow these four principles. And we would tell people and their eyes would pop out of their heads. What? No, no meat? You're a vegetarian? Oh my God, huh? So we thought, wow, we're really special. We're really special. We're like big time saints and avatars. Then we came to India and they say, so you've taken up this spiritual life. What are your principles? Oh, we follow four regular principles. And the guy says, what is that? And we tell him very proudly that we're really special. And he says, what's the big deal? I've been my whole life I'm following these. My father and my mother, we all follow these. Acha? Oh. Well, we chant 16 rounds. I also have mala. They said, we read Bhagavad Gita. Then you start to realize, well, wait a minute, And the real thing is that the only real difference is that we've surrendered our lives to the service of the spiritual master. And we're trying to practice pure bhakti. So then they become quiet. Because for them, bhakti is just something they do on Janmashtami, but not the rest of the year. But for us, bhakti is every moment. So that's quite a difference then. So that way, we don't eat very much when we go out, go to home programs in India. Prabhupada himself, when he did so many home programs, he would follow this principle himself. He wouldn't take any. He wouldn't. If someone was a non-vegetarian, he wouldn't drink water in their house. He would go to their house and preach, but they weren't vegetarian. He wouldn't drink water. And if they were vegetarian, but they weren't. If they were vegetarian, he would take some fruits or milk. I don't know if he wouldn't make inquiry whether specifics about the four regular principles. Whether vegetarians, but he would only take any grains if they had deities and they were actually initiated Vaishnavas. So it's like this. So Prabhupada practiced what he preached. He was a perfect acharya. So Lord Chaitanya is telling these things. It's not anybody. It's the Lord himself is telling. This will happen. God is telling. He's saying, if a spiritual master, he's not saying if Bhakti Joe. Bhakti Joe takes some grains. He's a spiritual master, means he's a very highly evolved spiritual personality. He should be perfected. Tattva-gyani. Gyaninas tattva-darshana. And so much fixed in devotion. At least at the level of nishtha, and moreover, he should be at the level of bhava or even prem. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, even a spiritual master, of course, it doesn't really say that in the Bengali, but it just says anyone. As anyone who accepts alms from a king or rich men, and Prabhupada says, if a spiritual master, doesn't say that, but it says anyone. If he accepts money or grains from such materialists, his mind becomes polluted. So Lord Chaitanya is saying this. Mana dushta haile nahi krishnara smaran, krishna smriti binu haya, Nishvala Jivan. So he's saying that Krishna Smaran. Krishna Smaran is activity of the mind, thinking, feeling, and willing. So mana dushta haile. Dushta means polluted, bad. The mind becomes bad. The mind goes sour. It goes bad. It doesn't work properly. It becomes cloudy. It becomes contaminated. It becomes dirty. Mana dushta. Then nahi Krishna Smaran. You can't meditate on Krishna. Actually, if one only goes about the normal activities of devotion, hearing, chanting, kirtan, and cutting vegetables, and dancing, and running here and there, which are basically passionate activities. Passion means movement. Lots of movement with the body and senses and speaking and everything. Then one never really perceives the situation of the mind. Because there's so much raja, we're generating so much raja, which means passion or movement, in order to execute all these physical activities in the cause of serving Guru and Krishna, that we don't really know the condition of the mind, because the mind is very active. The mind is also moving very fast. This thing, that thing, and this thing, that thing. Speaking this and speaking that, and trying to sell a book by saying so many things. When we sit down quietly in a peaceful place and try to meditate and do smara and remember Krishna's form, or meditate on his pastimes, then one comes to understand what is the dushtamana. Just like you may think your health is okay and you're doing all right, and then you go in for an examination, physical examination, they take your blood and they say, oh, you have so much cholesterol in your blood and it's not very good and your arteries are clogged up. They do an analysis and diagnosis of your health, internal health, and then which you don't see. So we don't really see the position of our mind when we're busy working with it. When our mind is engaged, connected with our working senses, because we have knowledge-acquiring senses, Gyanindriya and Karmindriya, but when we're working very much, actively working with the body and senses, then the mind is wrapped up and totally engaged. The body is moving quickly and moving around, cutting, cooking, kirtan, so many things, and the mind is also moving very quickly. So when you want to sit and meditate, that's an activity of sattva. Sattva-gun, solitude, quietude, peace. So then when you try to sit and meditate, when there's dirt in the mind, dushtamana, then you can't remember Krishna. It's called kashaya. The mind becomes distracted. And vyudhavikalpa, and all these different mental problems are described. Five mental problems are described in Madhurya Kadambini when one tries to meditate. So Lord Chaitanya is aptly saying here that when one takes food, accepts food or money, from materialistic people, rich people or kings or any materialistic person, then his mind becomes dushta, it becomes dirty, it becomes contaminated. And you only know that when you sit for meditation. If you never sit for meditation, I take lakhs and lakhs of rupees a day on life membership, I collect lakhs every day for the new temple, and I run here and I run there. What is this? I don't believe it. My mind doesn't become contaminated. Your mind is totally contaminated, but you don't know what, just like you don't know what's going on with your arteries until someone takes a blood test and tells you what your glyceride level is and your cholesterol level is. You think, I'm doing fine. Until you get a reading. You go, oh my God, I got to do the same way. Until you do a reading on your mind, you won't understand how much contamination is going there. And anyone who's done smaran, then they can understand. If they're cooking for themselves and doing smaran, and they go preaching, and they're eating even in the homes of initiated devotees, and then they try to do smaran during that time, and they see how their mind can waver. It says, Mana dushta haile nahi Krishna smaran, Krishna smriti vino hai nishvala jivan. This is God telling. This is not ordinary authority. This is not some Mahajan. This is God, Lord Chaitanya. When one's mind is polluted, it is very difficult to remember Krishna. And when remembrance of Lord Krishna is hampered, one's life is unproductive. Krishna smriti binu hai nishvala jivan. Nishvala means no fall. That our life produces no result if we can't remember Krishna. Ante Narayana smriti. Ante Narayana smriti. The Vedanta is telling us at the end we must remember Narayan. Ante Narayan smriti. That's only possible if we practice daily remembering Narayan. But the mind is full of clutter and dirt and all this due to bad association with the money and all these things, then it's very difficult to remember Krishna. Prabhupada's purport, he tells the devotee should always be alert, keeping his mind in a sanguine state so that he can always remember Krishna. Shastra states, Smartavyas Satatam Vishnu. In devotional life, one should always remember Vishnu. Shukadev told Parikshit, Smartavyo Nityashaha. Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma, Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari, Shurtavya Kirtitavyascha, Smartavyascha Chechadavayam. Oh, Parikshit, one who desires to be free from miseries must hear about, glorify, and remember Krishna, who is the super soul, the controller and savior from all miseries. This is the summary of all the activities of a Vaishnava. The Prabhupada is telling, this is it. This is the summary of all the activities of Vaishnava. Adi Leela, chapter 12, verse 51, purport. So, summary means that everything he said so far in this purport is about remembering. Smartavya, smartavya, smartavya. Remember Vishnu, satatam, always remember. This is the summary of all the activities. We're doing so many activities. Hearing and chanting and book distribution and cooking and preaching and traveling and this and that, leading kirtan. But the summary, the purpose, the goal of all those activities is to remember Krishna. Rupa Goswami states in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Avyarta Kalatvam. A Vaishnava must be very alert not to waste even a second of his valuable lifetime. This is the symptom of Vaishnava. But association with pounds and shillings men or Vishayis, materialists, or simply interested in sense gratification, pollutes one's mind and hampers such continuous remembrance of Krishna. Mahaprabhu advised, Asat Sangat Tyag a Vaishnava Chara. A Vaishnava should behave in such a way as to never associate with non-devotees or materialists. One can avoid such association simply by always remembering Krishna within his heart. So we may mix up here and there with materialists in different conversations or social gatherings or meetings among family members or relatives. That's unavoidable in a society. We have to meet and discuss and talk with them. But we can become free, or the prophylactic measure to protect one from becoming infected with their consciousness, although one may externally meet with them and look at them and talk with them, is that in the core of our heart we're always remembering Krishna. We're thinking, Krishna, somehow I have to be here. I have to talk to these nonsense relatives. But let me be nice and get it over with quickly. Say the bare minimum just so no one thinks badly of me. And get out of here. Get in and get out as quick as possible. And this is the idea. The association, we will not become contaminated. Association means you take on. Association doesn't mean to sit with someone or talk to them or look at them. Association means to take on their way of thinking, to take on their attitudes, take on their worldview or their feelings or their thinking. This is association. Then he says, the story goes on, two more verses. Loka lajahaya dharma kirti haya hani, aiche karma na kariya kavo ihajani. Mahaprabhu says, thus one becomes unpopular in the eyes of people in general, which I discussed previously, for this damages his religiosity and fame. A Vaishnava, especially one who acts as a spiritual master, must not act in such a way. One should always be conscious of this fact. So, that that it's going to happen, if you follow the Shastras and act according to what Prabhupada's saying, that you'll be unpopular in the eyes of society and you'll become infamous among materialistic people. E shiksha sabakari sabe mani koila acharya gosani mani ananda paila. Mahaprabhu gave this instruction to Kamala Kant, all present considered to be meant for everyone. Thus Advaitacharya was greatly pleased. So Kamala Kant Vishvasu, who was the secretary, personal secretary of Advaitacharya, he made this faux pas of sending a note to King Prataparudra indicating that his master Ishvara Puri was his master Advaitacharya was Ishvara Tattva, or the incarnation of Godhead, but somehow he was in debt for 300 rupees. So could the king please liquidate his debt? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about it and he was very upset. So he called his servants and told them to tell Kamala Kant to stay away from me, I don't want to see him. And finally he summoned Kamala Kant and gave him very good instructions, which everyone was listening to. And Advaitacharya was very happy. And rather he was thinking, oh, how fortunate Kamala Kant is, because he was scolded by Lord Chaitanya. And in that scolding and in that reprimanding, Lord Chaitanya gave valuable instructions to all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So we should take heed and try to follow these very important instructions that Lord Chaitanya gave Kamala Kant Vishvasu. And be very careful about who are eating of food, who we accept food from, and who we accept money from, in order that we can always remember Krishna and not pollute our mind with the consciousness of materialistic people. So we'll stop here. Is there any questions or comments?